Hey y'all, it's Rachel from Smarter Teaching, here to share a latte and give you all the tools you'll need to work smarter, not harder, in your classroom. Hey teachers, I hope you're having a great winter break. December is one of my favorite times of the year. I am here for cozy weather, real or fake fires, extra coffee, extra tea, people just feeling a little more relaxed, and overall I feel a little kinder to others. I just really like all of the things about December. I missed my November 3rd Thursday because my parents were visiting us, which was fun, but also unfortunately meant a little bit less reading time because I was just trying to hang out with them. So my reading goal for this year was 24 books in 2019. And I figured that even in kind of like feast and famine periods, I could probably balance out to 2 books per month. And I literally, like an hour and a half ago, finished my 24th book. So I won't be reviewing my 24th book this month. It'll be wrapped in with January because I had already written the notes of this podcast. But I finally made it. When I said that I read it, completed my book, like Goodreads threw some little confetti for me. So, I mean, I feel pretty accomplished. Like if nothing else happened in 2018, I read all my 24 books. So I feel great about that. So the books that I'm reviewing this month for December are The Hate U Give, Where the Crawdads Sing, The Nightingale, and 9 Perfect Strangers. I'm also trying out a slightly different format this month, so give it a listen and see how you think. Okay, let's talk about The Hate U Give. Y'all, I waited almost a dang year to read The Hate U Give. I originally requested the physical version from our library, and then after like 4 or 5 months on the wait list, it was finally my turn for the book. And we were on freaking home leave when it was my turn. So we are gone home visiting our family for like 2.5 weeks, which is obviously like the extent of time, more than the extent of time you have to pick up your book. So I missed it. The book got returned. Then I finally figured out how to connect my Kindle to our local library, which basically changed my life. So then I put myself on the Kindle waitlist, but basically I had to wait again for the Kindle version. But my super short review, worth the wait. So this is technically a young adult or a YA read, and it's pretty popular. It has 4.52 average stars on Goodreads. It originally came out in February 2017, and it's 464 pages. Maybe this was also made into a movie with Common. In any case, here is the summary from the publisher. 16-year-old Star Carter moves between two worlds, the poor neighborhood where she lives and the fancy suburban prep school she attends. The uneasy balance between these worlds is shattered when Star witnesses the fatal shooting of her childhood best friend Khalil at the hands of a police officer. Khalil was unarmed. Soon afterward, his death is a national headline. Some are calling him a thug, maybe even a drug dealer and a gangbanger. Protesters are taking to the streets in Khalil's name. Some cops and the local drug lord try to intimidate Star and her family. What everyone wants to know is what really went down that night. And the only person alive who can answer that is Star. But what Star does or does not say could upend her community. It could also endanger her life. So I was really into this book. I was able to read it quickly because it's a young adult book, but also because it's super engaging and really draws you in. The characters felt like people I knew myself. And while I ultimately wanted a happy ending, because you know me and you know I love a happy ending, I do think that the way the story folds out or plays out is more realistic than like the slightly utopian happy ending I would envision. I would say, as a total tangent and rabbit hole, that this book prompted me a lot to think about content that my own kids might read as they get older. Obviously, I'm not really bothered by an occasional F-bomb or suggestive behavior as an adult, but if I'm thinking about my middle school age child reading this, I feel just a touch less comfortable. When I was a kid, well, still as an adult, I've always been a reader. I've always been a voracious reader, and I've always I mean, it's superfluous now as an adult, but when I was a kid, I was reading for sure books that were written for kids like a touch older than me. So I don't think that, and I know that also my parents didn't really monitor when I was a kid what I was reading, which came, I asked my mom about earlier this year. We were, I'm sorry guys, this is a significant rabbit hole. We were in Dubrovnik and we were in a small museum remembering like a insurgent moment in the early to mid 90s, which reminded me that when I was around the same time, probably mid to late 90s by the time the book was published, I read a book called Zlata's Diary, which was about Sarajevo and like the war and the bombings and the genocide in Sarajevo in the 90s. And I totally know my parents weren't monitoring. Like, I, not that I was reading inappropriate things, but that I was definitely, when I was, I would say 10-ish, reading a lot of books that maybe I'm thinking about my own kids, and I'm like, man, would I let my 10-year-old read that? So what I'm saying is, I don't really want to like censor my kids as they grow up and reading, but I'm also thinking about like, do I really want them reading about drinking at parties, potentially thinking about having sex with your significant other, or swearing when they're 13 or even 16 either? I mean, I have a long time to figure this out, so it's not pressing. But it did, as I was reading this, because I knew it was an intended YA book, those are all things that I was thinking about. I would for sure recommend this to anyone about 17 or over with no hesitations. And I would also recommend it to mature younger readers, potentially with the guidance of an adult. Because like I said, there not only is there obviously like the racial component to this where that could potentially raise a lot of questions in younger readers, but also just some of the content around, as I said, drinking, some of the language, and some of the suggestive behavior, would be something that you might want to like read with a younger reader. It's a great book for moving outside of your own experiences, and it's a quick and easy read, also really great for conversations. Like I said, if you have an actual young adult reading the book, I would expect and or be prepared for some conversations to come out of this book. I super enjoyed it. It was totally worth the wait for me. And I would definitely recommend it to, like I said, anyone 17 or over. And I would recommend it for people within like the 14 to 16 band with some potential oversight / guidance. This month I also read Where the Crawdads Sing, which was really different from what I was expecting. For me, this kind of fell into a category of books that I seem to find myself falling into more and more often, which is, I didn't know anything about this book before I read it, except that it was recommended a bunch on social media. I also felt the same way about The Great Alone. People were talking about it in a bunch of several Facebook groups that like book groups that I'm part of on Facebook, and other like Instagram book readers that I follow. And everybody was talking about it. And I'm pretty sure that Reese Witherspoon is like producing this movie, something like that. So it just fell into this, it's in this wider category of books where I literally didn't know anything about it, have just seen it recommended a ton and put it on my like to read list at the library. So this book originally came out in August 2018 and it's 384 pages. This is the publisher summary. For years, rumors of the Marsh Gull have haunted Barkley Cove, a quiet town on the North Carolina coast. So, in late 1969, when handsome Chase Andrews is found dead, the locals immediately suspect Kaia Clark, the so-called Marsh Girl. But Kaia is not what they say. Sensitive and intelligent, she has survived for years alone in the marsh that she calls home, finding friends in the gulls and lessons in the sand. Then the time comes when she yearns to be touched and loved. When two young men from town become intrigued by her wild beauty, Kaia opens herself to a new life, a until the unthinkable happens. Perfect for fans of Barbara Kingsolver and Karen Russell, Where the Crawdads Sing is at once an exquisite ode to the natural world, a heartbreaking coming-of-age story, and a surprising tale of possible murder. Owen reminds us that we are forever shaped by the children we once were, and that we are all subject to the beautiful and violent secrets that nature keeps. So, like I said, going into this, I really had no idea what to expect, and I didn't know that this was sort of a murder mystery, and I was pleasantly surprised. Super into true crime / murder, like maybe a little more than is normal, but I really liked this book. It was a little heartbreaking in the beginning. Child abuse and neglect is just a tough topic for me. Like, I know that some people in a work of fiction probably have a easier time separating it, but it's just something that really tugs at my heartstrings. And so it was a little heartbreaking / tough to read at the beginning when they talk about her dad, who is not often physically abusive, but quite emotionally unavailable and withdrawn. And also, certainly neglectful of her. As a teacher, I also thought the whole piece of her learning outside of school and her school experience was really interesting. I really liked the character development and appreciated the outcome of like the whole resolution, not just like the crime resolution, but I appreciated the whole resolution of this book. I'm not 100% sure that I would qualify it as a happy ending, but it felt appropriate and just, so I'm not mad about it. I also really loved the descriptive nature writing that served as the setting in the backdrop for this book. Even though I've never been to the Outer Banks of North Carolina, I really felt like I could visualize the setting in this book. I felt like I was there in the marsh and on the beach while I was reading. And the natural setting of this book is just beautiful. And the story and the nature writing like just complement each other so well. It's really... it sounds weird to say this, but it's like a really lush story. And it feels like it fits in the setting really well. Also, disclosure, I really love several Barbara Kingsolver books. So I do potentially have like a slight bias in the sense of really enjoying nature, like really descriptive nature writing. I would say, just the natural setting of this book is really beautiful, and I liked the sense of poetic justice in the ultimate optimistic outcome and resolution. If you like murder mysteries, crime novels, or just really beautifully descriptive nature writing, then I would definitely recommend this book for you. But more broadly than that, I'd really just recommend this book to anyone who's a reader. If you are overall a reader of fiction, then I think you'll really enjoy this book. It's a beautiful, engaging book, and it's a pretty quick read. The characters are relatable, and as I've said like 5 previous times, the nature writing of this book is just like the writing about the natural setting is just really beautiful and descriptive. This month, I also read The Nightingale, which I was nervous that it was going to be overhyped. I had heard lots of other people recommend it, and a friend of a friend even went as far as to say that it's her favorite book, like, ever. It was a lot of pressure. And again, let me give you the short review. Worth the hype. Here is the official review from the publisher. France, 1939. In the quiet village of Carreveaux, Viviane Mauriac says goodbye to her husband, Antoine, as he heads for the front. She doesn't believe that the Nazis will invade France, but invade they do, in droves of marching soldiers, in caravans of trucks and tanks, in planes that fill the skies and drop bombs upon the innocent. When France is overrun, Viviane is forced to take an enemy into her house, and suddenly her every move is watched. Her life and her child's life is at constant risk. Without food or money or hope, as danger escalates around her, she must make one terrible choice after another. Fionn's sister, Isabelle, is a rebellious 18-year-old girl searching for purpose with all the reckless passion of youth. While thousands of Parisians march into the unknown terrors of war, she meets the compelling and mysterious Gaetan, a partisan who believes the French can fight the Nazis from within France. She falls in love as only the young can, completely. When he betrays her, Isabelle races headlong into danger and joins the resistance, never looking back or giving a thought to the real and deadly consequences. I have been reading a pretty decent amount of historical fiction lately, specifically World War II historical fiction, and I am really here for it. It's one of my favorite genres, and this book did not disappoint. I don't know if it was the writing of this book or the fact that it was like the third World War II historical fiction book I had read within a few months, but while I was reading this book, I really was thinking about how difficult it would be, or it must have been, to live in a war zone, and how hard it must have been to survive behind enemy lines, how you would have had to negotiate your own personal morals and ethics with competing values imposed upon you. I don't really know what prompted this line of thinking, but it was on my mind like the entire time I was reading this book. In any case, the story of itself is really beautiful. It kind of reminded me of Frozen, which sounds like a bizarre comparison, but in the sense that it was ultimately a love story about sisters. But I don't think that you have to have a sister to appreciate the story. I think that anyone, specifically women with close friends or friends that have been close, lose touch, and become close again, can connect with the relationship between Vienne and Isabelle. The story had several surprising twists to me, and I don't want to disclose them because then you won't be surprised. But more than once while I was reading, I was just totally surprised. I think that this is a really beautiful story about love, loss, and courage, and the ending is ultimately happy and optimistic, so you know I'm here for that. I did read some negative reviews after I finished the book that were sort of nitpicky on the details. But they weren't really things that I noticed personally as a reader. Like, one review mentions that they talk about rations in cups, but the reviewer pointed out that the story takes place in France, so really they would have used the metric system. Another reviewer was put out that even though this story takes place in wartime, there was an emphasis on both of the sisters' beauty and how like they were able to do things because they were pretty, basically. Although to me that felt kind of like historically and contextually accurate. But these flaws didn't really distract me from the overall story. I do wish there was a little bit more closure at the end. Basically, there's like a huge jump from the end of World War II to present time. And I do wish there was like a little bit more to fill in those gaps. But the flaws didn't really, like, the things that people were complaining about in some of, like, the 1- and 2-star reviews didn't really distract me from the overall story. And it just felt like it was a really beautiful story with believable and also strong female characters that I didn't feel shorted at the end. Like I said, I would have liked a little more closure, but, I mean, hey, sometimes you don't get that in a story or in life. The last book that I read this month was 9 Perfect Strangers by Leanne Moriarty, which was published in November 2018 and is just over 450 pages. Again, this is in the same group as Where the Crawdads Sing, where again, I was like, I have no idea what this book is about, but people are really into it, so I'll see too. But here we are again. This book was just popping up in book groups I belong to and Instagram feeds that I follow, so I was like, yeah, I should read this book. I got it just as my parents were leaving, which was really great because otherwise I wouldn't have had time to finish it. Again, this was a book that I surprise enjoyed, and it was totally different from what I was expecting. So here is the publisher's summary. 9 people gather at a remote health resort. Some are here to lose weight, some are here to get a reboot on life, some are here for reasons they can't even admit to themselves. Amidst all the luxury and pampering, the mindfulness and the meditation, they know these 10 days might involve some real work, but none of them could imagine just how challenging the next 10 days are going to be. Frances Welty, the formerly best-selling romantic novelist, arrives at Tranquillum House nursing a bad back, a broken heart, an exquisitely painful paper cut. She's immediately intrigued by her fellow guests. Most of them don't look to be in need of a health resort at all. But the person that intrigues her the most is the strange and charismatic owner slash director of Tranquillum House. Could this person really have the answers Frances didn't even know she was seeking? Should Frances put aside her doubts and immerse herself in everything Tranquillum House has to offer? Or should she run while she still can? It's not long before every guest at Tranquillum House is asking exactly the same question. Combining all the hallmarks that have made Leanne Moriarty's writing a go-to for anyone looking for wickedly smart page-turning fiction that will make you laugh and gasp, Nine Perfect Strangers once again shows why she is a master of her craft. So, like I said, I wasn't really sure what I was getting into with this book, but I did really like it. It was a nice, pretty light to read. It was easy to pick up and put down, and it moved at a reasonable pace, although there were a few times where I wished it would move a little more quickly. There are about a dozen characters in the book overall, so if that's something that bothers you, there's your warning. I don't really know what genre I'd stick this into other than just fiction. It didn't feel particularly realistic, although I guess there are really crazy wackadoos all over, so maybe realistic fiction would be the right choice. The bottom line for me is that I felt like every character in this book seemed like an actual person that you could know in your life with actual or perceived problems. I would say, for me, my biggest criticism of the book is that I felt like the climax dragged a little long for me. It seemed a little bit like once we had this like initial climax, that she was just starting the author was just trying to add like more and more outlandish scenarios. And while I wasn't really here, I wasn't totally down for the climax. I did really enjoy the resolution, both of like the immediate scenario around the climax, and then also the way they played out each character's story into the future. I would say that this is an excellent plane or vacation read, I just read a really heavy book and now I need something way less heavy read. I would recommend this overall if you're a reader of fiction. The characters are believable. The plot is intriguing. Like I said, it's easy to pick up and put down. It's a definite good vacation type read. I would definitely recommend all of the books that I read this past month. I'm getting ready to start 2020 with some nonfiction. Like I said, I just finished my 24th book for 2018, which was The Innocent Man by John Grisham, which is also a Netflix documentary or series or a docuseries. And after that, I'm planning to read Just Mercy by Bryan Stevenson. Both, ironically, are about wrongful convictions. So stay tuned for how that goes in January. I hope that whatever holiday you celebrate in winter is joyful and that you end the year relaxing and enjoying with the people in the books who are most important to you. As always, I love to know what you're reading. You can DM me book recommendations, suggestions, or you can email me directly at smarter_teaching@rachelwilfler.com. Happy New Year, readers, and I will see you in 2020.